Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason, and I hope you are.
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. It's another exciting show here. We've got a lot that we plan to address, and one of the things on our list today, Bill, is one that maybe blood boiling is the correct term to use, but this is something that's caught your attention this year, and you've been sounding alarm bells. And frankly, you're the only one that I've heard personally raising alarm bells about something that every business owner should know about.
No question about it, and it's called the Corporate Security Act, and I make no secret that I think it's obtrusive, hopefully unconstitutional, but the fact is, even though one federal court has held it unconstitutional, the government is ignoring that case, at least for everybody else, and basically forcing all of us to comply before the end of this year. So, frankly, the Corporate Security Act, and quite frankly, to comply, you can go online, and all of this is online, and you can Google Corporate Security Act. Now, my disfavor with this act is not political in any way. This, unfortunately, was a bipartisan agreement, and so it was... It's an add-on to the Patriot Act, if you will, but it's Homeland Security wanting to know all about our business. And frankly, here's the horrible part. It forces all of us, anyone who has an LLC, a limited liability company, or any kind of entity that was created through the Secretary of State in North Carolina, or a corporation, any corporation that does not report to the SEC. So basically, all small businesses are what we're talking about. Must report all of its information to Homeland Security through FinCEN, if you will. And so what is it they want to know? They want to know anyone who owns at least a 25% interest, any decision maker, anyone who's been helpful or in the creation of the entity. And they want verification. So it's not that you just put information down. You have to send them copies of driver's licenses and passports and other information to verify names and addresses and all of the information that you are forced to give the government. You can tell that I have a libertarian streak here. and of course, from my own perspective, they'll get all of this information from us law-abiding citizens and the folks that they're really looking for the information from, they're not going to get it. I mean, frankly, this information is for them to somehow be better able to find folks who are money laundering and financing terrorism around the world and the like. But it puts a huge burden on all of us law-abiding citizens. Now, this law requires anyone who has an entity, corporation, LLC, partnership, the like, that was created prior to this year to report to them with all of their verification before the end of this year. So we're talking in the next 2.5 months, because most people haven't even heard about the Corporate Transparency Act. And even though I've been pushing the alarm bells for a good while at this point, the fact is as I bring it up with clients when I see them, a lot of them have never heard of this before. So it now, here's the bad news. Failure to comply, failure to report accurately carries with it a $500 per day fine. And willful failure to report is a criminal act with the possibility of 2 years in jail and a $10,000 fine for willful noncompliance. And so the bottom line is that there are civil penalties and criminal penalties for all of us law-abiding citizens for not reporting the way the government wants us to report. Now, for anyone who has created an entity this year, you only have 90 days to report to them under those circumstances. And if there's any change whatsoever, you have 30 days to report the change. And quite frankly, that's going to be a huge issue in the future. Frankly, I just had to report a change because my driver's license was updated. But think about there are all sorts of potential changes if you were to move your primary residence or your business residence, or you get married and your name changes, or you move because of that. Or your loved one dies who is an owner or a part owner in a business. All of those kinds of changes have to be reported within 30 days of the change. You know, I think about how many people move and don't change their driver's license immediately, even though they're supposed to. The fact is that you got a $500 per day fine for not complying with reporting these changes, and so I'm out here basically trying to tell folks that this is an emergency at this point, folks. So anyone who has an entity or is thinking about creating a new business of any kind, this is something that has to be reported. Now, it's also important for folks to understand that it's free to report. There is no cost in doing so. It's all online. So if you don't have a computer, you're going to have to get one. there's also this should not surprise you, but there are already scams relating to the Corporate Security Act. So, you know, the criminals are not only not reporting, they're trying to get rich with their scams. But a client of mine actually sent me a form that looked very official. The form that was sent to them via email looked like it came from the government. It looks like an IRS type form. It even says it was revised last year, and it's form 5102. It looks like a very official form, mandatory beneficial ownership reporting. Well, this is exactly what the Corporate Security Act is acting for. It's just this is coming from a scammed source. And this one says that there's a filing fee of $119. Well, the point is that this was clearly a scam, because the fact is that your Corporate Security Act is not by a form. It's all online, and there's no filing fee that goes with it. So it's the kind of thing where you just have to understand how this is supposed to work. But it's like anything else. You got to be diligent. And I can assure you that the client that sent it to me was a very well-educated, but the fact is that this looked like it was for real, and it was something that had to be done. So watch out for scams, but also be aware of the Corporate Security Act and its requirements, and the fact that unless or until a federal court declares it unconstitutional, that applies to everyone, which I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's a possibility. This is also something that, from my own perspective, those of us who are willing should be writing to our congressmen and senators and saying, look, this is absolutely absurd.
Well, now we have, as you said, we have to be aware of those scams as well. And I saw that form on the table here, Bill, and I thought it was a tax form. I was like, well, why does Bill have a tax form for the show? It is a very convincing document there, and I could see how someone would quickly be fooled if they open something like that up in the mail. So be vigilant. Make sure you read through. And as Bill said, there's no fees associated with this. You just file online for free. But if you want to spend some time online finding information about WG Alexander & Associates, maybe you need the guidance of an elder law attorney, that's a great place to go, wgalaw.com, or you can call 919-256-7000. Schedule some time to have your documents reviewed if you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, or drawn up if you've never taken the time to have your legal documents drawn up. And don't forget, WG Alexander & Associates also puts on free webinars and seminars the second Wednesday of every month. Those just happened this past week, Bill. We need to talk about that later on in the program. But if you are interested in learning more about long-term care assistance, this is very helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. Learning about Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance available to most middle-class families dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session is another webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. And in the evening, it's the return of the in-person seminars all about legacy planning. That is happening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. If you want all the details, you can go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. The webinars and the seminar are all free to attend. There's no cost associated with them. It's a wonderful educational opportunity for you to learn about some subjects that can be quite difficult to navigate on your own. Go to wgalaw.com, click on that seminars button for more. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander & Associates by going to wgalaw.com. wgalaw.com. Find information about speaking with an elder law attorney. Find information about their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, November 13th. You can register in advance for free if you'd like to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, asset protection and trust planning, or legacy planning. All the information is at wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, legal documents, that's something that we always need to make sure that we're up to date and actually that we have them.
Absolutely. No question about it, Jason. But before I get there, I want folks to know I am delighted to announce that my 11 o'clock show, on Saturday mornings is going to be back. The fact is that I've had a lot of clients that say, I've missed your show on Saturday mornings, and I've been trying to get back to 11 o'clock. show since last, you know, since this past year when I got knocked out of that show. And so, but here's the catch. It's not going to be on WPTF. It will be on iHeart Talk Radio at 106.1 FM. And of course, iHeart's an even bigger station, but the fact is that they gave me my Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and I'm delighted to be back on the air on Saturday mornings. Now, I've had a show on WTKK at 7:30 in the morning for a good while, but being back on at 11 o'clock on iHeart Talk Radio is something that I'm real excited about, and I want folks to know about it. Now, I'm pleased to still be on WPTF. I've been on PTF for 20 years about, but the fact is that Saturday morning show was important to me, and I know that the majority of my clients that listened to me started out hearing me on Saturday mornings, and so it's important to me to talk about that and to know about that. And of course, we're still doing our other shows, and we're still doing our webinars and seminars that you've talked about, and we like that. But we're glad to add that 11 o'clock show on iHeart Talk Radio as well. Now, let's talk. Now, this morning, in fact, I was had a client whose husband was in rehab. And very sick and not likely to be able to come home, and was talking to me about the next steps as it relates to Medicaid. And so the first thing I asked was, what kind of documents do you and your husband have? And the fact is that, yes, he has a very simple, general durable power of attorney. And I said, well, this will get us halfway there, but it won't get us all the way there. And then I found out he did have a simple healthcare power of attorney. I said, great, that'll work, no problem there. But the general durable is what we need to be able to transfer property out of his name to your name. Because that's the first thing that you should always do when you have a married couple and you're doing Medicaid planning to get your loved one on Medicaid. And quite frankly, this power of attorney that he had signed gave no authority to the spouse to do that on his behalf. So in essence, we have one of two options, and we're not sure if it will work, but to the degree, we're going to try to go over to the nursing home and to see if he's sufficiently lucid, that in other words, he still knows his family, knows what he's doing, knows what he wants, and will give his wife his authority to sign his name by using what we call an enhanced general durable power of attorney, as opposed to what she has, which is a simple general durable power of attorney. You know, a lot of folks think when it says it's a general power, you can do anything you want to. Well, that is not true. With a power of attorney, you can only do what is specifically authorized and not a thing more. And so what she has right now doesn't work. So we can't move the house to her name. We can't move accounts that's in his sole name to her, which we need to do. Now, yes, they have some joint accounts, and she has the ability as a co-owner to change those accounts, but not any account that's in his name by himself, or real estate for that matter. So we need a much better power of attorney to do that. So we'll give that a try. And but if he's too sick, delirious, drugged up, not sufficiently lucid, whatever, so that he doesn't have the capacity to sign a new power of attorney, then our only option will be to petition the court to ask permission under statutory authority to be able to move the property from him to his wife. Now, the statute does give us the authority to petition and for that to be approved. In essence, it's a court order. But the fact is that that takes time. And when you're talking about the cost of nursing home, time is money. And quite frankly, having to petition the court and to get a court order and then with a court order moving, it might take an extra 2 months. Well, 2 months in a nursing home can cost you upwards of $20,000 that wouldn't necessarily have to be spent if you had the right doctors, right documents. And so that is something that I want folks to know, that particularly for seniors need more aggressive documents than younger people do, because we know we're going to get sick, we know we're going to have issues, we want to be able to protect our property, and we know who we can trust to do what needs to be done. That's something that's extremely important. Now, with that said, then there's another issue that sometimes occurs for folks, and this is broader than just folks that need Medicaid or VA benefits or other assistance right now. And that is, what if you need one of your spouse or one of your children to be able to manage things for you, pay your bills and things like that, but you're still independent. You just don't want to have to do that anymore. Well, the fact is that you can run into problems even though you have a document, a general durable power of attorney, that was prepared by a licensed attorney. In other words, it's a good legal document. There's nothing wrong with it in any way, shape, or form. But your bank or your financial advisory, the custodian, doesn't want to accept it. Now, sometimes they'll say, well, we won't accept it because it's too old, or we won't accept it because there's a limitation in here, or we won't accept it because it doesn't give us what we, you know, some rights or limited liability for accepting it or something along those lines. You know, they can have different excuses. But so what is it that you can do? Well, the fact is if that you know you want the bank to allow your loved one to be a signatory on your account so that they can pay your bills and the like, the easiest way to make sure it's accepted is to take your power of attorney with you and go to the bank with your agent and direct them to allow your agent to be able to sign a signature card on your behalf. And of course, if you do that while you can go with them, then the likelihood of it being accepted is about 100%. Same thing if you've been dealing with a financial advisor for a long time, and sometimes your financial advisor is not local. You have but they know your voice. You know, obviously they call you times. The same thing is true. Get on a conference call with where your agent and your financial advisor and you are on the call together, and you say, "Look, I've sent you my power of attorney. I want to introduce you to my agent. Here he is or she is, and I want him to be, or her to be able to sign the signature card to be able to do what I need, what needs to be done on my investment. Same kind of thing. So if you can preempt that situation, it can help. The times that people run into trouble are when you've had a horrible stroke, you're in the hospital, and they really need to get on your bank account to be able to pay your bills, and they run into trouble because you're not there to say, put this fella or this lady on my account as my agent. Now, if you go to the bank without your power of attorney, the only way they can put that person on the account is to give them an ownership interest where they are a co-owner with you. And that's generally not the way to do it. But of course, I've seen it happen all the time when a parent goes to the bank with one of their children to put them on the account, but they don't have the power of attorney with them. And so, in essence, the child goes on the account as a joint owner, generally with rights of survivorship. And it's not because the parent wants the child to have the funds in that account when they die. It's they're doing it for convenience more often than not. Now, there are times when they actually do it because they want the child to have the account, but that's pretty darn rare. So the best way to do it is to go with them and to have your power of attorney with you, and so to make sure that they have the ability to get on the signature your card. So there are a lot of issues like that occur, but you want your documents honored, and there are good ways to go about it to make sure that they are honored.
That's great advice. And if you need assistance with your legal documents and would like to have them reviewed by an elder law attorney to make sure that you don't find yourself in a situation with your documents not being honored, you can go to wgalaw.com and get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. You can also call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. At wgalaw.com, you can also find information about the free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, November 13th. WGALaw.com is the place to go. Just click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about Bill and WG Alexander and Associates by going to wgalaw.com. wgalaw.com is where you can go if you would like to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at wgalaw.com. You can also find information about the WG Alexander and Associates free webinars. This is done the second Wednesday of every month. You can learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits. You can learn more about asset protection and trust planning and learn more about legacy planning as well. There's two webinars and a seminar. It's all online at wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button for more information. I am Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we are talking about documents and, you know, when do we know it's time to give things an update? Because you've shared some scary numbers in terms of how long we tend to wait.
No question about that. But again, I want to say how pleased I am that I have my Saturday mornings back at 7:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings on a WTKK iHeart Talk Radio. So I hope folks will join me on Saturday mornings on iHeart Talk Radio. I've been off at 11 o'clock for a good while now, and I know a lot of folks like to listen at 11 o'clock. But 7:30 and 11 o'clock on iHeart Talk Radio, and I hope folks will join me again there. But let's talk about, we did document some time ago, should we update our documents? And quite frankly, there are tons of reasons why you should have your documents reviewed. And, you know, clearly folks who have moved from one state to another state should always have their documents reviewed, whether they have a trust-based plan or a will-based plan. Obviously, those kind of documents need to be reviewed, but it will surprise folks that oftentimes, particularly wills that are created in one state, may not work in North Carolina. I've had that happen a number of times, particularly wills that were created in the state of Maryland. But the bottom line is that each state has new, unique laws, and so that makes a huge difference. But you've already recalled that most people update their documents about every 20 years. And so in essence, that's just a testament to the fact that most of us procrastinate. And should folks have their documents reviewed more often than that? Well, the answer for most of us is yes, because things change. For instance, tax laws change, administrative laws change, new laws come on the books, and families change. Hopefully for the good, with additions to the family, but not always. Deaths occur, but what we own, our assets, change over time. For well-to-do folks, our net worth normally doubles about every 15 years or so, depending on the economy. And that can make a difference in terms of how we do things. But let's go back to if we had documents done back in, say, the 1990s. You have to understand that in the mid-90s, our death tax laws were significantly different. Most states had a death tax of some sort, either an estate tax or an inheritance tax. The federal estate tax exemption was only $600,000, and even surviving spouses could be taxed, which is generally not the case today. But the estate tax exemption moved up from $600,000 to $675,000, and then around the turn of the century went to $1 million. In other words, where you could pass $1 million of property to your spouse and children with no death tax. So obviously, you know, most of us have goals, and for most of us, there's at least three or four goals. One is, I want to take care of myself. I want to take care of my spouse. I want my children to enjoy during their lifetime what I've been able to accumulate for our family. And I don't want to pay tax. I don't want to pay anything to the government if I can avoid that. And all of those goals are good goals to have. I mean, I'm right there with you. I think that's exactly where we should be on our goals. So, but the fact is that even now, back in the 90s, a traditional plan for folks who had any property at all, and fact is, most middle class families had an estate tax issue. So that was when I was cutting teeth on what's called AB trust planning, where we created a credit shelter trust to avoid as much death tax as possible. But we created a trust at the first death of a married couple in order to avoid that tax. And of course, the rules have changed an awful lot since back then. The exemptions for estate tax have gone up and up and up. And in 2017, the exemptions were doubled. And so today, the estate tax exemption is $13,610,000 per person. Now, I wish I had that kind of problem myself, which I don't, but I love to helping people who do. Next year, the exemption will actually be $13,990,000, right up there close to million. So next year will be almost 14 million for exemptions for each. And so all of that makes a huge difference, because the year after that, then the exemptions fall back down to right about $7 million. And so might be 5,000, give or take, either way. I'm not sure exactly what that number is going to be. But it'll be right around $7 million each. Now, most of us don't have an issue there either, because that means a married couple could leave as much as $14 million for the children death tax-free. Well, at least federal tax-free, because some states have inheritance taxes and estate taxes that are much more aggressive than the federal tax at this point. And I probably need to take a break, but I want to be able to come back and talk about updating documents and how meaningful that can be.
We'll get into that discussion, because it is very important, especially if you want to avoid that false sense of security, thinking that you've got everything that you need in your documents. But if you've never had them updated, or if maybe you're getting older and you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, you could be risking having your well-laid plans not come to fruition. If you would like to schedule some time to speak to an elder law attorney, you can reach out to WG Alexander & Associates. The website is wgalaw.com. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. Go to WGALaw.com for more, and we're going to continue our conversation right after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to find information about WG Alexander & Associates. Schedule some time there to speak with an elder law attorney, or find information about their free webinars happening on Wednesday, November 13th. You can learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, information about asset protection and trust planning is in the afternoon webinar, and the in-person seminar is in the evening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, and that covers legacy planning. Learn more about the two free webinars and the free seminar at wgalaw.com. www.billdoctorsmith.com. Just click on the seminars button for more information. Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, just before the end of the last segment, we were talking about the importance of updating our legal documents, and we need to close the loop on that.
No question. And, you know, I review trust-based planning all the time, but, frankly, whether it was in a will or a trust, a lot of folks in years past needed to have an irrevocable trust created at the first death. And frankly, there are a large percentage of those folks really don't need an irrevocable trust at the first death anymore. They can actually simplify their estate plan and do what I call a sweetheart plan and leave everything to the spouse and then to the children. Depending on the circumstances, of course, and some folks should have an irrevocable trust that may not have had an irrevocable trust before. But the fact is, for tax-based planning, because exemption rates were very, very low at one time, and a lot of folks did irrevocable trust planning at that time that would prefer a simpler, less complex plan. I get that. And those plans could be changed. There are family circumstances change a great deal as well, because oftentimes folks did planning when their children were relatively young or not old enough to be an agent or an executor or to take responsibilities yet. And it may be that you appointed a brother or a sister or a parent as your agent, and they're no longer available, or, you know, they may have died, or your children are now old enough and your sibling rather not be involved. You know, those kinds of things occur. Of course, when you lose a loved one, your spouse dies or a child dies, that can make a huge difference in terms of how you want your estate administered and where you want your property to go or how you want it to go. It's unfortunate, but divorce is not uncommon in this country. It's one of the things we worry about a great deal when it comes to our own children. I think every parent worries about that possibility. And so if you're the person who's getting the divorce, even though it's the last thing on your mind, you probably need to do at least a little bit of planning, because you wouldn't want that ex-spouse as your agent. You wouldn't want that ex-spouse inheriting anything from you. You need to be changing beneficiary designations because that can be critically important. Obviously need to change other documents as well. So there are lots of things to be considered.
Go to WGALaw.com if you would like to schedule some time with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander and Associates. WGALaw.com is the place to go. You can also call the office at 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Don't forget you can go to WGALaw.com to find information about WG Alexander and Associates. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. If you've been listening throughout the program and you are coming to the realization that you need your legal documents reviewed and you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, head on over to WGALaw.com right now and schedule an appointment. You can also find information there about the free webinars and seminar. Just click on the seminars button at the top of the page. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.